Everybody, I think I found my voice. It tried to run away from me, and I had to rebuke that stuff that bothers my sinuses. And unfortunately for y'all, the voice came back. Let's pray, because I need it. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together without fear, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that you've prepared this table before us in the presence of our enemies. And I ask, Father God, for the rich food today. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to empower this voice with your words. And I declare, Father God, that we will walk away from this place changed and increased in our knowledge and understanding of you. And we bless you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yee-haw, guys. I don't know about you, but I have had such a wonderful ride with this study that I don't know what's going to happen next. I really don't. You know, I got that little hint of Peter saying, I'm going fishing. And then I had to go into the reason why he went fishing. And the reason why he went fishing was everything that he had depended on was gone. Everything that he depended on for several years was gone. The government came in and took it, and he didn't believe that the government could come in and take it. Now, how does that happen? It happens because of the reason and purpose of God. But, you know, the very first class, I got started, and I said, I've got to guard against distraction. You know, that's a pretty sneaky tool that the enemy uses. And there's a lot of people nowadays that use it on camera. Why on earth did you embezzle $80 million? Did you know that? That's the response. Did you see that? What are they trying to do? They're trying to distract from the purpose. So, here's what Webster says about distraction. You know I got to go into these things, guys. We got to put some beef into the words. We got to understand the words that we speak, because the more we understand, the more power they have. When you speak with authority, in fact, those who've been in the military, when they train you on a weapon, do they just train you how to shoot it? No, sir. They train you how to take it apart down to the last spring and know where that spring goes, how tight it's supposed to be, and then you put it all back together so that you know when you squeeze that trigger, all you got to do is that, and the bullet is gone. You see, the more you know about the words we speak, I don't know why I'm going this way, but I know why I'm going this way now. You see, when we were created in the image of the Most High God, right? That's what it says. But that creation was just laying there until what? Until he breathed, exactly, until he breathed life into that creation, which is the same thing that happened to Mary. What did he do? He breathed life into her, and that life was Jesus Christ. Okay? So this little foundation here, thank you, Lord, we need to be able to understand the power that we have and stand in trust and believing the power that we have as we speak over situations. Now, does that power our power? No, 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 no. That's witchcraft. The power that we have comes from the unction. Remember this one because we're going to hit it in a minute. Comes from the power of the unction of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, to keep us from understanding all that, our enemy tries to distract us, to draw us apart, to pull us out or to separate us. I'm the only one that's here. Now, I say that funny, right? But how many of us have felt that, okay? Be honest, okay? That's a weapon. To pull her out or to separate, to turn or to draw away from any point or object. Have you been given, like Jonah, you got to go to the city of Nineveh? I don't want to. To draw you away from any point or object, to divert toward various or other objects, to perplex, to confound, to harass your mind. To the disorder to disorder the reason of or to render insane or frantic. Okay, we have to guard against these things. We have to guard against squirrel. We have to guard against distractions. All right, so Peter got distracted. Yes, Lynn?
Did you say render insane?
Yes. Well, that's what a distraction will do. If you focus on that distraction, guess what? You're going to keep going into one thing and it don't work. And you try the same thing again, and it still don't work, and you try the same thing again. That's a definition of insanity. You're trying to get different results from doing something the same way. Ain't going to happen. Okay. So, where I wanted to start, before Holy Spirit led us into that one, was the book of John. And all of these things that were happening before Jesus went to be at the right hand of the God the Father. So I think I want to go to chapter 20. Yeah, chapter 20. And I'm going to read from verse 19, and we're going to jump back into the same part of that in Luke. And it says, chapter 20, verse 19 says, "In the evening that same day, the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors out of the fear of the government, the Judeans, Jesus came and stood in the middle of them and said, 'Shalom aleichem,' which we have discussed before. That means a wholeness, a peace and a wholeness in your life, a blessing in your life. And having greeted them, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed to see the Lord, and he blessed them again with that same blessing. Then he said, 'Just as the Father sent me, I myself am sending you.' And having said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Okay? So at that point, as they chose, now get this, and they all did, according, we can assume that they all did, received the Holy Spirit, or that life, that new life, the regenerated, born-again life within them, okay? So he breathed on them. And then Luke says chapter 24, and I'm going to verse 49. Again, he says, "Now I'm sending forth upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been equipped with power from above." Now, you got the life within you. He breathed it in you. And then he said, "Go and wait." Now, you guys can, and this is where I ended up last week. And so I'm thinking this week, how on earth, Lord, are we going to tie this back to what you told me to finish up with? What happened after they left the Sea of Galilee with 153 fish? They went back to Jerusalem. They obeyed. They went back to Jerusalem to wait for the promise. And what was that promise? Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Because back in John 15, he says, "I'm going to send a comforter." He repeated that in John 16, "the comforter, the Spirit of truth, which I will send, I myself will send upon you." Where did he get it? He got it at baptism, because John said, "I saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove." Is this tying some stuff together? Because it tied it together for me. It tied it together. The purpose, even when Peter got distracted, went fishing, God, in his great mercy, in his Son Jesus Christ, by the power of Holy Spirit, did what? Went and got him. Come on back. Come on back. come on back. All right. So, they obeyed. They went back to Jerusalem to wait. Anybody know how long they waited? Well, they were there for what? What was the festival? Pentecost. Exactly right. Pentecost was 50 days after his crucifixion. 50 days. What was that? I went into study just a little bit. I'm not really super versed in this, but what was the festival of Pentecost about? I'm gonna tell you. Harvest. 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 It was the eighth week, if you include the Sabbath, that Sabbath, it was the eighth Sabbath after his crucifixion, resurrection. What's eight? Eight is completion, new beginning. Seven is completion, eight's new beginning. You see how this is tying together? Harvest. What's happening? Every seed that the Lord planted, he's now given a festival by a gift, which we're going to look at in just a second, for harvest. Who's the harvesters? Wait a minute. I am not the only harvester. Okay? Who's the harvesters? All right. That's what we got to do, guys. We got to change our mindset and how we're walking these days. There is so much going on around us that we have to change the mindset that it's just us. I'm praying for my family around me. We have to begin to think that we are thermostats wherever we go. What does a thermostat do? It changes the temperature. A thermometer reads the temperature. A thermostat changes the temperature. We have to begin to feel the shoes that we were given. We have to enjoy it. Go. Yes. Yes. If you get shot, where are you going? Is that not a peace? How many other people can walk around with that disregard of fear for your life? If you're a born again, believing, Christ-empowered child of God, this is not the end. And if you're not, this is also not the end. But to tell you the truth, I would much rather end up in the mansion than in the boiler room. Okay. So, the festival, the Jewish calls it Shavuot, arrived, and the believers all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire and flames or, what you know, whatever. Just, you know what a tongue of fire is. Which separated and came to rest on each of them. And they were filled with Holy Spirit, and they began to talk in different languages, okay, as the Spirit enabled them to speak. They didn't just start blabbering. It was as the power of the Holy Spirit moved within their body, moved their tongue to speak what they didn't understand with their ear, what they had not been trained in with their ear. And what was it? Let's go on a little bit. It says, now they were staying in Jerusalem, religious Jews from every nation under heaven. Why were they there? They were there for the festival of Pentecost. See how God does this stuff? Everybody's being there for what they think is a festival, and now they're going to get something that they didn't deserve, ask for, but they really needed. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were confused because each one heard believers speaking in his own language. If the disciples had not given in to the power of the Holy Spirit, and if they bit their tongue, what would have happened? Nothing. Everybody would have seen something, but they would have had no explanation for it. Not only do we have to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, we have to give in or allow the power of the Holy Spirit to move. Exactly, exactly. I'll share a quick story. You may have heard it before. I cannot vouch for the truthfulness of it, but I believe it. I was raised in the Presbyterian Church, okay? Now, I will let you know that Presbyterians are not quite as open to the Holy Spirit as we are. Okay? So, seems that there was this minister in the Presbyterian Church that was speaking. Got up, gave his message, and at the end of the message, he felt like he heard God tell him to run around the sanctuary. He stood there resisting. Absolutely not. Can't do it. I will not. Cannot do it. What will the people think? But the power of the Spirit was so much upon him that he just did it. He said, I don't know why, but I'm doing this. And so he ran around the sanctuary. At the end of that issue, a man sitting in the very back pew got up, came down, and fell down on his knees before him. Why? Because he said, God, if you're real, you make that preacher run around this church, and I will come to you. You see, we have to look for those opportunities. Be aware of those opportunities because it doesn't matter where you are. You can be, as I was yesterday, sitting in that easy chair finally, watching a couple of football games. Holy Spirit can come down and interrupt what you're doing. Get your attention away from that TV screen and give you whatever it is that he needs to give you. It doesn't matter where you are. Okay. Let's keep going. I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. Okay. Getting back to God making us do what seems to be ridiculous to us. As we go, we're still in the same chapter. Going down to verse 12. The crowd, amazed and confused, they all went asking each other, what can this mean? But others made fun of them, saying they've just had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice to address them. you Judeans, all of you standing here in Jerusalem, let me tell you what this means, and listen carefully to me. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken about through the prophet Joel. And the Lord says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon everyone. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. I wonder about that last part. Does a dream necessarily have to be when you're asleep? Just asking. I'm resisting this growing old thing. Sorry about that. Says, even on my slaves, both men and women, will I pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And I will perform miracles in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, thick smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon blood before the great and fearful day of Adonai comes. And then whoever calls on the name of Adonai will be saved. How many times have we said we're in those days? How many times have we believed that we're in those days? I would submit to you, my brothers and sisters, we've been in those days since he said it's finished. We've been in those days. And it's by his grace and his mercy that we're still in those days. Yep.
But back when Jesus called his followers to follow him, they were leaving everything they knew to follow someone that they believed in, but others did not believe that it was him.
Exactly.
So it looked weird to everybody else around them.
Yep. Yep.
Mary, why are you following him? It might not look right to us, but it ain't all about looks.
Never has been.
It's about the heart.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what's been pricking me. It's about the heart. It's about my heart. Yes, Brother Dave. Yeah. Yep. That's the attitude that we gotta be aware of. Our time is not unlimited. Here's another. Thank you, Lord. I didn't know how you were gonna work this in, but I knew you had to. I was at a funeral of a friend of ours yesterday, and that was exactly the message that that pastor was bringing, is that we have an appointment. We have an appointment, and that appointment cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. It's a point of joy for believers. But anyway, I said that because at the funeral, our friend had also been a veteran. And those of you who are veterans in this room know that you have the privilege and honor of having an honor guard as part of the ceremony. And here's one thing that really, really intrigued me about that ceremony, in that there is a 9-gun salute. They fire the rifles 3 times. And while they're firing the rifles, if it's not at graveside, then you can't do that in the funeral home, so they have they have the soldiers outside, right? So they're up at the front with the casket or whatever, with the flag, and they've folded the flag up, or they were holding the flag out, and then comes time for the salute. Well, the soldiers are facing each other like this, right? And out front behind closed doors is time for the report of the rifles. Well, when they say fire, you expect to hear a report, but you're not ready for it still. Your body's not ready for it. So everybody in the congregation flinched. You know, you hear the pew, and everybody like that. Guess who didn't flinch? Not one of the members of the military flinched from their duty in front of that casket to honor that person. That impressed me. So even though, how you translate that? This is something that I want to be like. I'm sharing with you guys what I want to get to. I want to get to that point that you know the enemy's out there. You know there's going to be a battle. And it says, fire. Pow! You don't flinch. You don't move from your purpose. There's not one thing about your demeanor that changes in your purpose just because there's a loud sound. That was just an aside. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. All right. So, as the things start to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit on the disciples, there's several things that happen. First of all, let's see. I'm going to read this background. It's verse 29 of chapter 2 of Acts. It says, brothers, I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on the throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of the Messiah, and that he was not abandoned in hell and whose flesh did not see decay. God raised up this Jesus, and we are all witnesses of it. Moreover, he has been exalted to the right hand of God and has received from the Father what he promised, namely the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, I inserted that, has poured out this gift, which you are both seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he says, Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Oh, how is he going to make the enemies a footstool? I would submit to you that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the believers who are still on this earth. At least part of it. Therefore, the whole house of Israel know beyond a doubt that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you executed on a stake. And on hearing this, they were stung in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what should we do? And Peter answered them and said, turn from your sin, return to God, and each of you be immersed on the authority of Jesus the Messiah into forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for those far away, as many as Adonai our God may call. And that, I also believe, is another restoration of Peter. Why? Well, what did Jesus say to Peter in the upper room when he said he would go to death with him? He also said that your enemy, the devil, Satan, has desired to sift you. But then what else does it say? And after you have returned, strengthen your brothers. What does it say right here? Who said this? Peter said this. Turn from your sin and you'll receive, be immersed, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Is God not just awesome? Is that not just awesome? So, what else happened? After that, those who accepted what he said were baptized or immersed, and there were added to the group of disciples that day about 3,000 people. Power of the Holy Spirit. Speaking on the unction of the Holy Spirit. Speaking on the unction of the Holy Spirit in a language that you don't understand. So, I have to ask myself a lot. Because you're seeing somebody who's still whacking away at a lot of pride. Am I humble enough to say, okay, God, whatever you want me to say, I'll say, whether it's in English or not? And what happens? What was my part of 3,000 people getting saved? I don't know, but I had a part in it. And there are 3,000 people that are no longer going to the boiler room. They're going to the mansion. All right. And they continued. And they began to knit together. They began to knit together in relationship. They began to get knit together. How does it say? They broke bread together. I'm going to put in a plug here, y'all. I'm going to put in a plug here, y'all. I'm speaking to everybody. How many times a week do we get together outside of right here with our brothers and sisters? It's just like living in a neighborhood. How well do you know your neighbors? They got together and they broke bread every day. Now, you know, if it's possible, that's cool. But we live in a different time. We live in a different culture. However, what's the pattern? The pattern is to get together daily with brothers and sisters. We're going to start looking about how this body can get together with our brothers and sisters so that we know who needs what. How much do you need? How much can I give? And here's something. Thank you, Lord. Here's something that in the South, well, and pretty much anywhere else, we need to look in a different light. And that is when we're being blessed. Now, I was raised, as I said, staunch Presbyterian. Staunch. And it was extremely hard when I was first born again to receive a gift of any kind from anybody. That was charity. Don't need charity. Don't need charity. I can make it. It's hard right now, but I'll get through. When the Holy Spirit gives us unction to give, what's in store for us? A blessing, right? Now, if somebody refuses to receive that gift that Holy Spirit, or we just desire to give, what's happened to our blessing? We have essentially been robbed. So, I will submit to you, my brothers and sisters, if somebody desires to bless you, even if you don't need it, receive it with gladness. Thank them and allow Holy Spirit to bless the one who is blessing you. Do not rob a blessing from anybody who desires to bless you. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. That was a...
You have to be careful
Oh, yeah, well, you're blessing by the Holy Spirit. You're blessing by the Holy Spirit, whatever it is, whether it's mowing a lawn, buying a meal. Oh, I'm not done yet. Buying a meal or whatever. So that was just an aside of the blessing that we've been given. All right, really quickly. Where am I going? Chapter 4. Okay, yeah. So a little bit of background. The miracles are beginning to flow. The recorded miracles are beginning to flow. And so Peter and John were walking one day, and there's a crippled man. And what did he say? Y'all, we all know this. He's a beggar. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to thee. Stand up and walk. Stand up and walk." That's right. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And so what happened after that? Well, they called him in front of the Sanhedrin, right? And I can't do this fast, so I'm just going to read it. When they saw how bold Peter and John were, even though they were untrained, they were amazed. Also, they recognized them as having been with Jesus. Moreover, since they could see the man, who'd been healed standing right beside them, there was nothing they could say to discredit the healing. So they told them to step away from the Sanhedrin while they discussed the matter privately. And that's when it says, Gamaliel, one of them, said, "If this thing fizzles out, then we know it's man. But if it don't, we're fighting against God." That's a Moss paraphrase right there. And we can't fight against God. And so what did they do after that? Well, they flogged them. Wait a minute. They didn't just turn them loose. They flogged them. Guys, that was painful. They probably just didn't walk away. They probably had to have help. But upon being released, they went back to their friends and reported what the elders said to them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices to God with singleness of heart. "Master," they prayed, "you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. By the power of the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, you said, 'Why do the nations rage? And why do the people devise useless plan? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers assembled together against Adonai and against his Messiah. This has come true in this city, since Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, all assembled together against your Holy Spirit Jesus, whom you made the Messiah, to do what your power and plan had already determined beforehand should happen.'" So here it is, right here. "So now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your slaves to speak your message with boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and miracles through the name of your Holy Spirit, Jesus." I'm going to read the next verse in a minute. What did they do? They went back, went straight to God, and said, "Empower us, embolden us to speak your message." After they'd already been told not to, and after they'd already been flogged, they still went back and said, "God, empower us." And then they went back to the same place they were preaching at. But you see, this is the direction I believe the Lord is pulling us as believers. Understand who you walk before. Understand who loves you more than you can even fathom. Understand that it's by his power that we walk, and he has prepared works for us to do. And we need to do those works. Now, is all of those works saving 3,000 people? No. It may be bringing a meal to your neighbor. None of those works is small in his eyes. Not one of those works is small in his eyes. And to signify how much he cared, what happened right after they asked this question? While they were still praying, the place where they gathered was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke God's message with boldness. That's what happened. The place where they were standing had an earthquake because the power of God fell on them because they asked. So, going forward this week, let's ask. Let's ask. I'm challenging us to ask. Ask. Holy Spirit, what is it today? Holy Spirit, what is it today? Holy Spirit, what is it today you would have me do? And if it's continuing in the walk that you're walking, then that's what he wants you to do, and that's just as powerful as saving 3,000 people. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the words you've given me today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for emboldening us and empowering us to do the works that you called us to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us so much that you want us, you want to use us to bring this world into the reign and the rule of the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.